I was about ready to go to sleep.
Okay, we are live. Ron just sharing everything. Hey, it's Postcast. I'm David Locke along with Ron Boone as we get ready for this one. Ron evidently was about to go to sleep. We brought to the game.
I'm talking about now.
Oh, because I took so late. Oh, yeah, that's it. Or the Jazz won a sleeper tonight. Let's go with that as the new headline. Jazz won a sleeper tonight. 120-105. We're talking about it.
How you like my
sweatshirt? On Postcast. David Locke along with Ron Boone. How do you like my shirt?
What's that like?
It's a skier with a mountain and a helmet, a little puffy hat on.
Yeah, okay.
It's kind of cool. My wife gave it to me.
Kind of creative.
Okay.
Should have known.
What else should we talk about? Jazz have won 8 straight on the road. This one, you kind of prepare for these games, and for a brief moment, you try to convince yourself it's going to be a contest, and then you realize, wow, they're missing 8 players to COVID protocol, both their centers. They're starting Larry Nance Jr., who I like a lot as a switching center for like 6 minutes a night as their primary center. And their backup center, they signed yesterday to a 10-day hardship. And when you suddenly line those things up, guess what happens?
You have no shot.
They had no shot tonight. And we were good, right? Like, you know why they have no shot? Because we're good. Like, this is not a like eye-opener, like, I keep getting asked this question by people of like, well, what do you know about the Jazz? Like, okay, I know that we're a championship contender. Like, that's what I know. We're good.
We're really good. And again, I know we touched on that, at least I did, during the course of the basketball game about a Jazz team that has talent and they have a system. And when key players are out, the system still works. It just boils down to making shots and probably playing a better defense. The Jazz, I think defensively, need to get a little bit better, though.
Yeah, they did not play a lot of defensive defense. Well, you know what? I think if we look back at it, we're going to see pretty good defense in the second half because the defensive rating in the first half was a 127. By the end of the third quarter, it was a 112. And by the end of the night, it was a 109. So I'm going to guess they tightened up a little bit. All right, let's actually dig into the game a little bit. It was a contest. They did keep score. And let's go back to the shoot-around report. Like, the shoot-around report was pretty simple on a few things. One was they're going to switch everything. They're going to play zone. And there was a set way to attack, which was, you know, one or two passes at least before. And the Jazz did it. They executed perfectly on the offensive end of what the game plan was. And they totally exploited a terrible defensive team.
Two passes removed from the attack is the way they try to put it. And all that is just you're swinging the basketball twice. Because when they're attacking, you should be open to the point where you can, when their defense is, when you attack, it should be two passes removed.
Right. So we had 8 different players with assists tonight. I mean, I think that backs it up, that you had 8 different players with assists. Mike Conley had 6, Jordan Clarkson, another kind of, he had 8 rebounds in back-to-back games. Tonight he has 4 rebounds, 5 assists. I mean, Jordan's doing some interesting things. He's not shooting the ball any better. That is not coming around. That's a little disturbing. But if you look at the last 4 games now, Jordan Clarkson now has 24 rebounds and 21 assists. That's not something that's Jordan adapting a little bit.
Is Jordan adapting a little bit? I'm not really concerned with his shooting right now. I think eventually he slows down enough because he's more of a rhythm player. He's the one that gets in a groove and he plays 90 miles an hour. But now his shots are more like what you do in practice, you know, those type of things. And I think eventually that comes around. He missed a 3-point shot tonight, and it was like he was uncomfortable shooting it because he was open for so long, you know, and because he's used to guys running at him and you know, those type of thing. But I really enjoy watching him play now, the way he's getting it done. He's still getting, what, about 2 or 3 shots less than what he was getting earlier in the year, but they're the kind of shots that you want him to take.
The other part of that moving the basketball thing we're talking about on the offensive end, it led to 30 field goals at the rim tonight. 30 field goals. I have to assume that's one of the highest totals. Chicago really pounds the glass and pounds the rim, so I'm assuming they will probably get that. We did not play in transition at all tonight. We did not need to. We took 50% of our shots at the rim tonight, Ron. 50% at the rim. That is the highest rate of anyone this year. It's 99%.
It should have been that way. I think we ended up with 22 assists. And I think the Jazz this year assists per game is up maybe 1 or 2 than what they had last year. That and that's still not ranked, you know, as high in the league as some of the other teams. But it should have been that way this year. We had a height advantage. The Jazz did a great job of executing, getting Rudy and Whiteside at the rim quite a bit, to the point where they had some easy buckets. So it should have been that way. I would have been disappointed if it didn't happen that way.
You made the comment about defense. What did you not? What's that step that you're looking for?
It's a lot of talent in this league, and I think just trying to take away the strength of other players, of making guys like Powell have a terrible shooting night, not so much because he's shooting poorly, but because you're putting enough pressure on him to force him to shoot poorly, that type of thing. I'm sure all of this will come around, but again, it's awfully difficult defending teams and players and teams in this league anymore, especially with 48 minutes of play.
Here's an interesting question. How much are we not learning about ourselves because other teams' COVID protocols? So in other words, because everyone else is in health and safety and we're just playing kind of disjointed teams, are we getting something less out of this? Yeah, probably. We're going to lose some games here because of health and safety, right? Like the Warriors lost last night because of health and safety. The Suns lost two nights ago because of health and safety with DeAndre. We're going to lose some games. We're going to start losing some players and losing some games. There's just no chance that 25, 30% of the league's getting this thing, and we're not going to have anyone. Like, at some point, it's breaking through our group, and then the one thing we've seen is that when it breaks through your group, it goes. Now, is there a way that we can, like, stop the spread at the rate other teams have? Hopefully, you know, right now, everyone in the league's being tested every day. And so therefore I think it's, you know, that increases the chances of both someone testing positive because you're testing, and also the fact that you can hopefully quiet the spread if it happens, pretty quickly at that point. So at some point we're going to go through this. Every team in the league has, but us, and we're going to probably lose some games because of it. So right now you might as well win some games.
You just hope you can survive it. I think the goal or the stretch that they're putting on this COVID, this new variant, is that it's going to last for probably to the All-Star break. I mean, before it starts to slide and slow down here a little bit. So right now, the month of January, and maybe about the next 6 weeks, we're going to be running in this type of thing. Hopefully, if the Jazz end up with a few players, I hope it's not like the Portland Trailblazers where they had like 7 or 8 guys out.
We have not been shooting the three the last few games. Our other team's defense. I think this is a legitimate question that we should keep an eye on. Andrew, this is a great question. Teams are doing something. They've decided we're not going to get 50% of our shots up with threes. There's been a concerted effort there to make that change. And I think it's worth keeping an eye on. Now, the answer is that Rudy's getting 20 every night. So that's the answer. Pick your poison. And then at some point, people decide to take Rudy away and we start to hit the threes. I think here's what's really interesting. The book on us was to switch defenses, and the book on us was to, you know, play at that stuff. The book now is almost drop the big again and hug the shooters and make us play pick and roll in the middle of the lane, which is actually taking us back to like 3 years ago because we've worked on all these things. So we'll see how we adjust to that. I do think that trend is happening. We'll see what the Warriors have if they have Draymond Green and how they play us. They're a great defensive team. Minnesota's been a very, very good defensive team, but they've been trapping the ball. We'll see if they do that against us. So it's two good ones coming up.
Now, the remedy to that, and if you talk to some of the coaches there, to maybe getting some more threes or uncontested threes, it's like you have to play a little bit faster. You have to push the ball ahead of the defense. Boyan's always going to run the floor. He's always going to run to the three-point line, you know, that type of thing. So I think if you're going to get – those type of threes, you got to play a little bit faster than what the Jazz have been playing.
Jazz win it tonight, going away. This is Postcast. We'll have Locked On Jazz for you tomorrow morning. Thanks very much.